In 1 Corinthians 3:16, if we defile our temple with sexual immorality, God will destroy our temple. It's written. It's written in God's Word. No sexual immorality in the church. Now, that if people are committing sexual immorality and they're still alive, they're on thin ice. You know, God doesn't kill every one of them. Some of them, He gives them a miserable life. You know, He makes things not go right for them. He makes the children that come out of that handicapped, mentally handicapped or physically impaired, some kind of sickness, disease. You pay your sin. You don't get by with it. Sin is going to be judged. And people don't understand that. But it says here, if you follow that kind of thinking, however, you might as well say that the more we sin, the better it is. Those who say such things deserve to be condemned. Yet some slander me by saying, this is what I preach. Well, let me tell you, I preach it just like it's written. Paul did too. Verse 9 and 10. Well then, are we Jews better than others? No, not at all. For we have already shown that all people, whether you be a Jew or a Gentile, are under the power of sin. Boy, and that's a true statement, isn't it? I don't care who you are. As the scripture says, no one is good, not even one. For all have sinned. You know, I don't care who you are. God says you've sinned, you've sinned. None of us are without sin. Now, verse 11 and 12. No one has real understanding. No one is seeking God. In fact, why is it that we have this Father that has built this mansion for us, that's provided everything in the world for us, and we know that in heaven we've got this magnificent place? Why is it the whole world is not knocking down the doors of every church to get in them? That's a good question, isn't it? Just like right here, yesterday we had a healing school. We had a pretty nice group. Do you know there was almost nobody here from Justin? We had people here from all over the country. Hey, people drove in hours and I flew in and everything else to come to the healing school. But almost nobody from Justin ever comes. Maybe one or two. Isn't that something? So why don't they come to the healing school? Because they don't believe. You know, there is a multitude of people in this town that know of Thurman Scrivener. But I got tickled yesterday at the healing school. I asked Jerry, what did you think about me the first time you come to my Sunday school class? What did you tell us, Jerry? He talks like an escaped mental patient. But now see, that Jerry had been in church all of his life. They didn't understand the principles of the kingdom. He was a son and she was a daughter of God. Although they had read the Bible some, they had not spent enough time with the Holy Spirit to really get revelation on the book. But after God started leading you in the right direction, He's totally changed your life now, hasn't He, Jerry? 9 years later, they're still tuned in to God's Word. It's changed y'all's life forever, hasn't it? I hope Camilla don't mind this. You look at this sweet little thing, you think she could never tell anybody nothing. She told me one time, she said, I used to be where if somebody did me wrong, boy, I could tell them how the cow eat the cabbage. I could get on them, she said. She said, now that I've come to your class and learned that sin. She said, I don't do that no more. She said, I love people. Now, what does the Word do to you? It changes you, that's right. Now this sweet, gentle, beautiful little lady, she's a sweet, gentle, beautiful little lady. You know, she would never tell nobody off. You see what I mean? Because she's understood now that that's sin. And she heard that from her daddy's book. And so that's what's changed Jerry and Camilla. Well, what's changed the rest of us? The same thing. The book, right? The Word of God is what makes us what we are. And if we don't experience that sonship with God and spend time with Him and the Holy Spirit in His Word, you'll never get to the place you want to be. It can't happen until you get in His Word. And Paul's trying to tell us this. Verse 13, 14. Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their speech is filled with lies. The poison of a deadly snake drips from their lips. I thought, man, these people are talking about people in Washington, D.C. You can't get a straight answer from Washington, D.C. You know that? Is it sad? Yes. And it don't make any difference. We talk to a Supreme Court judge. You know, we talk to a congressman. We talk to a senator. We talk to the President of the United States. They all tell you what you want to hear. And then they go do what they want to do. Does some of them need to get saved? I think all of them. You're absolutely right. And they need to have this sonship relationship. He says their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Wow. That's not only in Washington, D.C., is it? It's right here. And there's some people even in the church that do that. And that's what's so sad. Verse 15 and 16. They are quick to commit murder. Do you think anybody in a church would ever commit murder? You know, you have no idea that women that I know even had a husband that were married to, they got pregnant, that didn't want the baby and went down and had it killed. Christians. And I've tried to talk some of them out of it. Some of them have changed, some of them hadn't. You would never dream that a Christian would commit murder by killing a child, would you? But they do. Can they be forgiven for that? Yes, they can. Are we glad we serve a gracious God? Because if He wasn't gracious, He'd kill us all, you know. So they're quick to commit murder. Wherever they go, destruction and misery follow them. 17 and 18. They do not know what true peace is. They have no fear of God to restrain them. You know, if you don't believe God's real, you have no fear, right? You go do what you want to do. Well, do exactly what you want to do. I mean, if you don't believe God's real, who cares? You know, and some people don't, right? Some people do not believe that God is real. There's no God. And some of them you start talking about, they say, shut up, stop it, I don't want to hear it. I say, oh, because if you realize He's real, you're in trouble, aren't you? And that's what they know. You can convince them that God is real. Verse 19 and 20. Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given. If it says the law applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to bring the entire world into judgment before God. The law is given to who? The lawbreaker. Those that break the law are under the law. Those that don't break the law, we don't have to worry about the law. Is that the way it is even with our secular law? If you get out there on the highway today going home and the speed limit's 65 on the freeway, if you're driving 65 or 60 or whatever, is any law officer going to stop you?
Nope.
No, you have no problem. You can drive. If he's driving 50, you can just go right on by him at 65. He won't even look at you, right? But if you decide, I'm in a little bit of a hurry, I got to get home quick this afternoon, the government preached a little too long, so now I got to drive 90. Oh, you think they might stop you, huh?
Yep.
Because you're a lawbreaker, and the law was made for the lawbreaker. When we walk in obedience to God's word, are we under the law? No, we don't have to worry about the law when we walk in love. There's no such thing as law for us. The law applies to those whom it was given. For its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to bring the entire world into judgment before God. Because see, God knows the law, doesn't He? And He will judge everybody one day. At the end of the age, it will all be judged. For no one can ever be made right in God's right sight by doing what His law commands. You just can't be that good. For the more we know God's law, the clearer it becomes that we aren't obeying it. If I were to put the entire Jewish law up here today, we would all realize how wicked we really are. If I just put the Ten Commandments up there, most of us would realize how wicked we are. Verse 21 and 22. But now God has shown us a different way of being right in His sight. Not by obeying the law, but by the way promised in the Scripture long ago. Oh, there's a different way to please God? We are made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sins, and we all can be saved in the same way, no matter who we are or what we have done. So is that only for those of us that are in this house today? Or is that for the wicked people that are out there that are being lawbreakers? Everybody. But why are they not coming to Jesus? Most of us are not telling them, are we? I wouldn't want to put you on the spot and say, how many people did you ask this last week? Are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus? Some of you might say, well, I didn't do that. Well, if you didn't do that, you wasn't a very good son this last week, right? Did God tell you to go out and make disciples? Who's that mean you're supposed to talk to? Ooh, everybody, huh? Woo, everybody. Well, do we do that? Not very well. Some of us do, but some don't. But you know, I'd like to challenge you this week that as you go forth, if you're really a child of God, if you're a son, if you're a daughter, and I hope you are, I hope you see yourself as sons and daughters of God. If you are, you really should have a desire to spend a little time with Him every day in His Word. God wants us to be hungry spiritually with His Word. And He wants us to come and He wants to fill us with His Word. And it makes Him happy when you spend time with Him. Because if you'll spend time with Him in the Word as a son or a daughter, I guarantee He will give you revelation and wisdom from His Word. Especially if you pray over it and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I've come to spend some time with You today, and I want You to give me revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of Your Word. He says, oh, look at my son, my daughter. They're asking for it. He did put His arm around you and say, let's get in the Word. I'll show you some things that's beyond your wildest dreams. And He does that, doesn't He? And don't we love it when He does that? I love it. Okay, verse 23 and 24. For all have sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet now, God in His gracious kindness declares us not guilty. He has done this through Christ Jesus, who has freed us by taking away our sins. When I came to Jesus, when you came to Jesus, how many of your sins did He forgive you of? And we ask people this all the time. Well, have you asked God to forgive you? 1,000 times. And of course, Dave, he always comes back and says, well, when are you going to believe the word? You know, because when you sin and you confess your sin, how many times do you have to confess your sin? One time. And he cleanses you, white as snow, doesn't he? Now he says, come on, daughter, let's go do something, you know, and let's get on to something bigger and better here. Isn't that wonderful? So when we believe the word, when we really believe the word as sons, when we ask our dad to cleanse us and forgive us, it's only got to be done one time. And then he takes it away. Only the enemy will come back and bring it back to you and say, oh, you old unworthy sinner, you don't think God was good enough to forgive you. He'll remind you of that, won't he? Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. He don't know what he's talking about. Or verse 25 and 26. For God sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sins and to satisfy God's anger against us. We are made right with God when we believe that Jesus shed his blood, sacrificing his life for us. God was being entirely fair and just when he did not punish those who sinned in former times. And he is entirely fair and just in this present time when he declares sinners to be right in his sight because they believe in Jesus. So aren't we grateful for Jesus? 27, 28. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? Absolutely not. Because our acquittal is not based on our good deeds. It is based on what? Faith. Trust in God's word. It's based on faith. We don't live under the law today. We live under faith. We walk in faith. And if we don't sin, we don't have to worry about the law because we're walking in grace above the law. The law has no hold on you until you sin. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. There it is. This is clear as it can be. So we are made right with God through faith, trust in his word, and not by obeying the law. You can't obey the law and ever become a son. When you obey the law, you're a servant. But when you obey faith, you're a son. And I want to be a son. Faith in Jesus. There is no other way to get saved than to become a son of God by faith in the word of God, taking what Jesus did for you and running with it.
You've been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Son versus Servant Relationship, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.